Like the human body, when the church operates and people surrender to the will of God, and you invite Jesus into your life, and you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, and you say, yes, Lord, use me, and the Holy Spirit works through you, all of a sudden, the church is stronger because of you. And everyone is important. Hey, friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Ruben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. I'm so excited. We've been in this series called Fire. If you're just joining us, welcome. And we've been in this series. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit throughout these last number of weeks. And if you've missed it, we have some incredible messages that you can go back and look at our Thorn Creek Church YouTube page, and you can like it. Maybe we'll get more hits than, you know, the Kelce Brothers and Taylor Swift if you like it. You never know. But we've talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit wants to control your thoughts. The Holy Spirit wants to control your moods. Hello. The Holy Spirit wants to give you strength. The Holy Spirit wants to do this inner work inside of you. The Holy Spirit wants to make you righteous, make you holy. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you. He's known as the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus has given us this Holy Spirit so that we can experience the presence of God within our own chest cavity, and we could know his leading and his guiding every day. And we've been looking at that, so I encourage you, if you haven't, you can go back to the YouTube page and check it out. But I want you to know that you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Jesus made it really clear to the disciples when he was walking with them. He said, I'm gonna go away, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit because you need the Holy Spirit. Your first step is to invite Jesus Christ into your life to be Lord and Savior. That's step number one. He is the biggest person, the best person you'll ever know in your lifetime. Turning to Jesus is the best decision you'll ever make in your lifetime. And I turned to Jesus when I was 18 years old. And I wish I had turned to Jesus when I was 1 year old or one day old. But it didn't happen. But when I was 18 years old. But I want you to know, Jesus loves you and he sees you and he cares about you. And God sent him into this world to be your Savior. He went to the cross to die for your sins. And he loves you and he wants you to experience that grace and forgiveness that comes with his blood that was shed on the cross for us. But even more than that, he's given you his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit you need to battle the demons in your life. You need the Holy Spirit to give you strength that you don't have. You need the Holy Spirit to help you when you feel down and discouraged and weak or whatever it means. You need the Holy Spirit to be restored. You need the Holy Spirit to experience freedom in every possible way. You need the Holy Spirit to battle your temptations. You need the Holy Spirit to know the will of God, to know the mind of God. You need the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's part of the Trinity. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. This is the Trinity. There's one God, but there's three persons. There's three distinct persons, manifestations in this one God. Today, the title of the message is Supernatural. Supernatural. And we're looking at, what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to live inside of you? What does that look like? What happens inside of you? And what happens through you? What happens through you? Inside of you and through you. During my sabbatical, I took 2 months off to kind of get refreshed, and I needed that. And the Lord met with me in a special way. But at the end of my sabbatical, I preached a revival. So I preached 4 days in Maui. I know you feel really bad for me, really sad, but anyway, that's what happened. Just get upset at the Lord. I'm just the messenger. Anyway, but when we were there, the whole staff went with me, and then the worship team, and we led worship at a church in Maui, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time. But one of our free days, Grace and I, we went, and I like food trucks. Anybody like food trucks? I just like food trucks. And so we went to this food truck called Jaws, J-A-W-Z. And we went there, and I love fish tacos. If you don't like fish tacos, I'm sorry, but I love fish tacos. But anyway, we were there ordering fish tacos, and I'm looking, and, you know, I think, I'm going to get the mahi, fish tacos. And there, I look over my shoulder, and there's these two guys, and they're dressed head to toe in Los Angeles Rams attire. Los Angeles Rams, that's a professional NFL team in California. You may not know about them because, anyway. So I look over them, and you don't know this, but when I was a kid, literally like third grade, I had, my mom bought me an entire Los Angeles Rams, like, uniform. Shoulder pads, helmet, leg pads, I mean, the whole, so I would play, like, Nerf football in the street in my Los Angeles Rams uniform, and I'd go to the grocery store in my Los Angeles, and everybody were looking at me saying it's cute and all that stuff, but anyway, so that was what, these are the days when you go out and you play, and when the lights come on, it's time to go home, and your parents have no idea where you're at because there's no cell phones. Those are glorious days. And you drink out of a water hose. Anybody remember those days? Those are glorious days. We didn't read labels or anything. We just did it. I mean, it was just a different day. Anyways, so I turn over and I look at these two guys and I'm like, oh, you know, and then they start talking to me. And they're two black guys. And they turn around, they start talking to me. And I'm talking to them, and they want to know what to eat and all this stuff. And, you know, it's people of color sticking together kind of thing. So I'm talking to them. And then I look at what they're wearing, and I said, oh, man, I'm old school, man. And they said, what do you mean old school? And I start rattling off a whole bunch of old school athletes that played in California. And one of them was a little bit older than me, and he said, oh, yeah. So I'm walking away, and I said, and Wes Chandler, he was phenomenal, Wes Chandler. And I keep walking, and one of them says, hey, wait a minute. And he reaches into his pocket, pulls out his cell phone. He said, I just talked to Wes yesterday. Hold on a second. And he calls Wes Chandler on speakerphone. Now, this brother doesn't know who I am at all. And he puts the speakerphone right by me. He's like, hey, Wes, I want to introduce you to someone. So I'm talking to Wes Chandler on the speakerphone with this stranger that I don't know. And I tell Wes, hey, Wes, man, you have great hands, man. Thanks for, keep your eyes on Jesus, Wes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's all the time. So we hang up, and then I look over to this guy, and I said, who are you? And he says, I'm the running backs coach for the Los Angeles Rams. And I said, what? Are you serious? So then we're just loving it. We don't even know each other. And then we meet again at the beach because I'm in the shade. You know, that's what you white people, you don't know their life. I'm in the shade. And then I see them walking around, and they come and they talk to Grace and I for like 45 minutes. And all these people are coming up to take pictures of them while we're talking, and we're just talking about, you know, like what it's like to grow up as a man, and they're believers as well, and we're talking. Here's a picture of them. I got a picture with me hanging out with them, and we're talking about, and one of them, I said, man, that looks good on you. And then the guy says, get your cell phone out. I'm gonna give you my number. I'm gonna send you a hat. That's what he said. I said, brother, you don't have to do that. I'm not like that. He said, no. I'm gonna send you a hat. So here's what happened, guys. I got a word from the Lord to try out to be a running back for the Los Angeles Rams. Seriously. I don't know why you're laughing. I got a word from the Lord. So I went ahead. God spoke to me in the middle of the night. And he said, Reuben, you're going to be running back for the Los Angeles Rams. So I went ahead and texted him and said, hey, man, I want to try out. So what would you do if I told you I got a word from the Lord and I went out to try out to be a running back for the Los Angeles Rams, and I went, the 40 I ran was not 4.2, but it was more like 15.2, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't have the legs or anything like that. You know what you would think? He never got a word from the Lord. He's just having a midlife crisis or something. He never had a word from the Lord. I don't know what he's talking about. Because you would expect, if I truly got a word from the Lord, if I truly had an encounter with God, then I would have supernatural strength, right? Now let me say it like this. There should be a difference with someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit. There should be a difference with someone who is possessed, impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is living inside of them. I want to take you to Acts chapter 1. I'm really not going to be a running back, just in case you guys are, I was being silly, just to let you know. Anyway, that would be cool though, wouldn't it? Acts chapter 1. Jesus is meeting with the disciples, and I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, that's related to Jesus, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. Isn't that cool? Scripture says over 500 people witnessed the physical resurrection, the physical body resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in Corinthians. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Remember doubting Thomas? God bless him. Touch my side, look at my hands. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God, for the kingdom. There it is. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Bam. Mic drop moment. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. Verse 8, but you will receive power, say power with me, power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I think this conversation is fascinating. You know, Jesus appears to them at day 40, and at day 50, 50, the Holy Spirit comes down on the disciples, aka Pentecost. And that's what happens in Acts chapter 2. But at day 40, Jesus shows up to the disciples and he says, here's what your job is to do, is you need to be in Jerusalem and you need to wait. I know none of us like waiting. We want things to happen immediately. But Jesus tells them, you got to wait. And here's what you got to wait for. You got to wait for the Holy Spirit. You don't know how bad you need the Holy Spirit. You don't realize it. And the disciples, you know their head is somewhere else because their question to him was, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? You know what they're talking about? Present day problems. They're talking about things that they're facing right now. We do the same thing. It's like, you should go to church. You know what? I just got so much work to do. It's my only day off. I don't know if I can go. You should go to church. You need God in your life. You know what I need? I need more money. That's what I need. I don't need God. I need more money. You should get to know Jesus. You need church. You need God in your life. You know what I need? I need a relationship. That's what I need. I need a better job. And our mind is stuck on our present day problems. And I want you to know, all you need is Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a stronger person, you need the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You need the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's nothing wrong with 24-hour fitness. I mean, there's nothing wrong. And all the reps and the miles, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you really want to be stronger, if you really want to go to another level, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is telling these disciples, you got to wait. You got to wait because you need the Holy Spirit to walk with me. You need the Holy Spirit to get the best out of this life. You need the Holy Spirit. And the disciples are like, yeah, but we have political problems. Are you going to fix this first? We have some political issues. Are you going to restore the kingdom first? And Jesus almost, goes right over that. And he's like, you know what? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes down on you. Let me say it like this. You can live a supernatural life or a superficial life. Superficial life is a life when you're dependent on yourself. It's your perspective that you have and only your perspective. It's your strength. It's your willpower. It's about your understanding. And when times are tough, you double down. You hustle, you get that second job, third job, whatever it is. You rely on yourself. You rely on your knowledge. You rely on your IQ. It's a limited life. And let me just tell you right now, your willpower and your strength is not enough. It's not enough. Turn to the person next to you and just tell them you're not that strong. Tell them like this, you ain't that strong. Tell them. You ain't that strong. It's not enough. But a supernatural life is different. A supernatural life is a life with God. A supernatural life is like, you know what? There's things that happen in this world I don't understand, I don't get, but I need to have a God with me. I need God to help me through everything, through every day. And a supernatural life is a life that's filled with the Holy Spirit, where it's not only your perspective, but you also have a God perspective. You have a spiritual guide in your life, an advocate, a paracletos, a counselor. You have one leading and guiding you, and he's helping you, and he's giving you strength, inner strength, a joy, a peace that surpasses all understanding. That's a supernatural life. You want to be a better man? You want to be a better woman? You want to be happier? You want peace in your marriage? You want to know God's will for your life? You want to kick the devil in the teeth? Are you tired of battling that addiction? Are you tired of battling those demons in your life, those private battles? Are you tired of keeping secrets? Are you tired of living a life like that? You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to help you through all of those things. There's no way. I cannot be who I am without the Holy Spirit, and neither can you. We need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit more than you need a man or a woman or a job or money or sex or anything. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. I kind of feel like preaching just a little bit, guys. I'll just tell you. Let's go back to verse 8. I love the Word of God. There's nothing like the Word of God. There's nothing as powerful as the Word of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this. Let's read the first sentence out loud. But you will receive power. So that word power is such a strong word. It means dunamis, means this. It means a force, might, strength, ability, capacity, or potential. And what Jesus is telling the disciples, you go to Jerusalem, you wait, and the Holy Spirit's going to come down on you. And here's what's going to happen. When the Holy Spirit comes down on you, you're going to have a supernatural power. In other words, you're going to gain a power that you cannot gain in this world. It's a power from heaven. It's the Holy Spirit. And this power is going to give you strength to go through every day. But if you keep reading, it says this. I'm working Caleb a little bit. It says this, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So he says, you're going to get this power, but this power is going to come down you, but it's not just for you. You're going to be also witnesses. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to be living inside of you, but the Holy Spirit's also going to work through you. He's going to use you, and they're going to become witnesses throughout the entire region. And if you do a little history, little research on the disciples, that's exactly what happened when you look at their life. And they spread the gospel. They all went different places to spread the gospel. Many of them were beheaded. Some are crucified upside down, and it's because they ultimately believed in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they had the Holy Spirit living inside of them, and they had such a holy conviction that they lived their life for God and nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. Here's what God wants to do. God wants the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to live in you and work through you. That's what you came to church for, guys. God wants you to know him through his son, Jesus Christ. Also, God wants to put his Holy Spirit inside of you. This is when the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, there's all kinds of things that happen. Scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. He wants to transform you, and he wants to renew your mind. He wants to change the way you think. And the way what he does on the inside, he gives you new cravings. He conquers things that you aren't able to conquer. And you let the Holy Spirit work inside of you, and he will give you a new appetite for his word. He will give you victory over things that you haven't been able to get victory over. He will give you a strength, a joy, a peace that you just have not had. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He works inside of you. He works in your thought lives. He works with your emotions and your feelings. He does a work in your spirit, and you're different. And when I see people who have made that decision, let me just tell you, they're always better looking. Their countenance is different. They have a joy on their face. They look good. And it's not because they run or they lift or they diet or any of those things. It's their spirit looks good because the Holy Spirit is working inside of them and freeing them, and they just look different. There's a joy inside of them. Now, Jesus also made it clear that it's not just power for you, but it's that power is going to be distributed. He's going to eject you, unleash you. And Jesus told them, you're going to become witnesses throughout the area. You're going to become witnesses. You're going to tell everyone about Jesus. That's what he's telling them. And when I preach, that's my desire. My desire, guys, I have a rigorous spiritual life that I live with all the time. And it's just my life. And I always tell people I have no life, but I have an amazing life. It's just the Lord. I want to be right with him all the time when nobody's looking. I want to be right with him. I appreciate the encouragement. But I could, there's certain times, some of you know what I'm talking about. You can fake it. You can play the part, whatever part that is. Some of you have really good relational skills. You know you can fake it. Throw some charisma in there and you can say the right things and you can fake someone out. But someone who's authentically filled with the Holy Spirit is authentically different. They're authentically different. There's something about them, and it's the Holy Spirit living inside of them. When I preach, my desire is that the messages are anointed by the Holy Spirit. I don't want to just go through some kind of regurgitate something. This is no regurgitating. The Holy Spirit's my transcript, and I want the Holy Spirit to work inside of me. Just in these last few weeks, check it out. Last few weeks, we've had 81 people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in this church. 81 people. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. I know who gets the glory. And then we have had so many people stand up saying, I need the Holy Spirit. We've had a total of 723 people. Some of those have stood up multiple times. They're serial converts. But they've stood up multiple times. And they've said, I need the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. God is doing something in this church. The Holy Spirit is moving in this church in a dramatic, incredible way. The Holy Spirit is moving, and he's laying a foundation for us to be used. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is laying a foundation inside all of us to be used. And here's what I want you to hear. God wants to use you. God has a purpose for your life. His Holy Spirit wants to live inside of you, but there's a way bigger purpose in your life than making sure the HOA is happy. There's a way bigger purpose in your life than paying your bills. There's a way bigger purpose in your life than going out on walks or runs. God has a supernatural purpose for your life, and you need the Holy Spirit. And God uses qualified, unqualified, broken, weak, and messy people. Hallelujah to that. When you look at the Bible, you see unqualified, broken, weak, and messy people. Abraham was old. Hello. Jacob was insecure. Mm-hmm. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was a prostitute. David had committed an affair and murder. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist ate grasshoppers. Just wanted to insert that in there. I bet he had bad breath. Simon Peter was impulsive and a hothead. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had 5 failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas had doubts. Paul had a past. And Timothy was timid. And God wants to use you. Glory to God. I look at this list, and I have felt all of those things on a personal level, just being real with you. I have felt weak. I have felt timid. I have felt insecure. I have all those things I have felt. And I've always wondered, as I've thought about this, why does God use the unqualified, broken, weak, and messy people? You know what I think? I think when he uses the unqualified, broken, weak, and messy people, everybody knows who gets the glory. It's in our weakness that he is strong. And we are keenly aware that we're unqualified, broken, weak, and messy. We are keenly aware that without God, I'm driving in circles. You know what I'm saying? We are keenly aware of that. God wants to use you. Your history is his story. We're baptizing a whole bunch of people this weekend. I think we got 15 or 20 or something like that. Isn't that exciting? And they all have God. There's so many God stories in this church. And every once in a while, I talked to someone who accepted Christ last week. And I was talking to him in the lobby after church. And he was telling me about, like, you don't know my life. And, you know, I've made a mess of it. And it's complicated now. And so-and-so doesn't trust me. And so-and-so doesn't trust me. And so-and-so, you know, I burnt bridges. And he's telling me his life. And I'm like, I'm listening. And I'm thinking, brother, you fit right in. And I'm also thinking, you don't know how big our God is. And there's no messiness in your life that's too messy for God to work through. He will work through all the messiness in your life and the complicated and the complicated mess that you have made. He will work through and he will get all the glory. And you know what I've discovered? When you go through something like that, it's like that Samaritan woman who had 5 failed marriages. She is keenly aware of the grace of God. She is keenly aware that God is so good. It's like, I am so aware that God has forgiven me for so much. I am so aware that he extends love to me. I don't deserve it. And when you're at that place where you recognize I don't deserve it and it's all about his grace, you know what happens? There's a fire lit inside of you, a greater love for God. That's why Jesus said in another place, he loves much or she loves much because she's been forgiven much. And when you have been forgiven much, you become a white hot missionary for the cause of God. You want other people to know this incredible love and incredible grace. When we were, during my sabbatical, my family and I, we went to go and follow those steps of Paul and we were in Athens, but we drove an hour south of Athens. We went to Corinth. Corinth is a really significant place. Here's a picture of my family and I. But while we were there in Corinth, this is a place where during the days of Paul the Apostle, Corinth was actually bigger than Athens. And in fact, it was said there was thousands and thousands and thousands of gods that they used to worship. This was a big business location too because of the location and ships and the channels of water and all of that stuff. But while we were there, we were observing and Corinthians, you know, 1 and 2 Corinthians is written there, and Paul wrote the book of Romans in Corinth as well. But when Paul wrote a letter to Corinthians, he knew that they're coming from an old life, and he's bringing them into a new life in Christ Jesus. Like the old life that they had was fixed on worshiping idols. There was all kinds of sin involved, and they had a way of thinking, just like all of us. Like you came to church right now, and you have a way of thinking about God, about life, about what's true, what's not true, what's right, what's wrong. We all came here with a way of thinking, and what Paul is doing is he's trying to get them to a new way of thinking about relationships, about what's right, about what it means to live in Christ Jesus. And they have this question about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. How does the Holy Spirit work through you? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, here it is. Paul says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans," that's this old life right here, "you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols." So true. When we were there, we saw all kinds of gods. So, verse 3, "So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Verse 4. Now he says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts." He's talking about the Holy Spirit working through you. "But the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us." One thing I love about Thorn Creek Church is the fact that we're so diverse. I was talking to someone at the door just yesterday, and they said, "I love the fact that we're so diverse. You know, and everybody's normal till you get to know them. I mean, nobody is like normal. Hear this. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents or skills, but they are supernatural abilities given by the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. It's not about what you are naturally able to do. Some of you are really good at doing certain things. It's not about your natural abilities. It's about what you do, what the Holy Spirit does in you and through you when the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. In verse 7, he says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So let me say it this way. For those of you who call yourself a Christian, God didn't save you just for you. He saved you to serve others. It's not just about you receiving the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit working through you. It's about being a witness. Being a witness for the Lord. God wants to use your shape. This is an acronym that we share a lot around here. What's a shape? S is spiritual gifts. It's what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through you that you could not do on your own. H stands for your heart. It's what do you love to do? All of us, you have a love to do, whatever it is. Who do you love to work with? A stands for abilities. These are your natural abilities. P stands for your personality, introvert, extrovert, whatever you might be. And E stands for experiences. And all of those experiences that you have been through, God will use when you say yes to God. Some of you, you know what it's like to go through a divorce. I don't know what that's like by the grace of God, but you do. Some of you know what it's like to lose a loved one, to lose a child. Some of you know what it's like to battle an addiction. You know what it's like to battle alcoholism or some other drug or whatever it is. You know what that's like. Some of you know what it's like to battle a lust issue or some other sexual issue. You know what it's like. And when you surrender your life to God and you say, Jesus, take over my life, he puts his Holy Spirit inside of you, and then he uses you in a radical way that only you can do. Like all those things that I shared, you know, some of you, you've gone through experiences that I have not gone through, and you'll be way better at helping someone else who's going through similar experiences. You'll be way better. And here's a list of some spiritual gifts. Verse 8, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. That's so beautiful when you hear wise advice. And it's a supernatural thing when you know it's the Spirit of God giving you this advice. And some people have that spiritual gift. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The Spirit reveals some things with them. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. That person who says, God will take care of you. You'll be all right. The Lord will see you through this. And they have the spiritual gift of faith. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. When they pray for you, things happen. The gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. They have a discerning spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. We don't talk about that a lot, but the Holy Spirit does that. While another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. That's in they go together. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. I love encouragers, don't you? There's certain people that if you're around, you just feel better about yourself. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Hear this. The Holy Spirit will enable you to do things that you can't do on your own. What I've discovered is it's like the Holy Spirit accentuates what you already have. There's a reason why you have these abilities. There's a reason why you're wired this way. There's a reason why you think this way. But when you invite the Holy Spirit, it's like supernatural steroids. Like all of a sudden, God is taking what you have and you're able to do things that you could never do on your own. But the reason why you're able to do things on your own is because you invited Jesus Christ into your life. There's a reason why you can't do that on your own. It's the reason why it's supernatural. And you spend time, you have learned what it means to walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Much of this is about what does a relationship with God really look like? What does a relationship with the Holy Spirit really look like? It involves faithfulness. It involves obedience. It involves being faithful to God when nobody's looking. It involves spending time in God's word over and over. When I was, before I came out here to start Thorn Creek Church, one of the quotes that launched this whole thing, I was at a conference in California at Saddleback Church. And I came back from that and the Lord started stirring my heart about starting a church. And I was a pastor at the time in Colorado Springs. So I was on staff at this church, and I opened up I read my Bible, and I have a devotional book, and I think John Maxwell was the author of it. But there was a quote in this book I want to share with you. Here's a quote. It's by A.W. Tozer. God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity we only attempt things we can do on our own. Isn't that a strong quote? Here I am. I'm a pastor in Colorado Springs, and I read this quote, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. And I'm like, yeah, I like the way that sounds. That feels good. What a pity we only attempt things we can do on our own. And I thought about that quote a little bit, and the Lord just put this on my mind. Okay, Reuben, how many things are you doing that require me to be involved? Where if I don't show up, it's going to fail. If the Holy Spirit is not there, it's going to fail. How many things are you doing that you have to work through doubt and you have to work through fear and you have to risk it and put yourself out there where if it doesn't happen, I mean, the only way it doesn't happen, I mean, God has to show up. He has to show up. I'm not relying on my own strength or my own abilities. And I did a quick survey in my personal life and I thought, how much of my life requires the Holy Spirit to show up or it's going to fail? I'm a pastor, and I concluded at least 95% of my life did not require God to show up. Whew. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, Reuben, you're going to start a church, and it's going to be flipped. You're going to attempt things and do things that will only be accomplished if the Holy Spirit is present. And that name is Thorn Creek Church. That's where it all came from right there. So it totally flipped. But I want to ask you that question. How much of your life requires God to show up or it's going to fail? Are you putting yourself out there? Are you taking steps of obedience? Are you taking steps of faith? Are you sharing your faith? Those of you who call yourself Christians, are you sharing your faith with other people? Who are you working on? Are you trying to bring people to church? Are you introducing them to Jesus? Who are you working on? How much of your life requires God to show up? How much of it? I'm going to jump into verse 11. He says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So only the Holy Spirit decides this. This is a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then he breaks it down. He talks about the human body. He says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants. So Paul the Apostle, he's talking about this life in the Spirit. He talks about spiritual gifts. And you know what he's saying right here? Here's what he's saying. Everyone is important. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you, you're like the big toe of the church. You know what I'm saying? You're a part of the body and you're essential. I told someone that last night. I said, you're our big toe. And he's like, oh, thank you. But that's what he's saying. He's like, look at your body. And just like the human body works, and I think I need all my fingers, and I broke my wrist one time when I was diving after a ball, and I broke it, and I realized how important my left arm really is. It's really important, and I appreciate God giving me a left arm. But Paul the Apostle is saying, like the human body, when the church operates and people surrender to the will of God, and you invite Jesus into your life, and you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, and you say, yes, Lord, use me, and the Holy Spirit works through you, all of a sudden, the church is stronger because of you. And everyone is important. The person who greets in the parking lot, the person who serves coffee, the person who manages the death step, the person who greets in the front, the person who works in the kids ministry, the person who works behind that, the person who works with young adults, whatever it is, all of us are important. The people on the stage, the person who's preaching, whatever it is, that's the body of Christ. That's the body of Christ. And check it out. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. In other words, when you let God work inside of you and you put God first in your life and you say, Holy Spirit, use me. I'm messy. I'm broken. I've got a lot of issues, but I know I need you. And you let God work through you. The church is stronger because you said yes. Because you said yes, I'm stronger. Because you said yes, we're a stronger church. Here's what we want to do today, guys. I'm going to give you homework. This is good homework. We are doing something called a spiritual gifts test. Let's put that link up. I want you to get out your cell phone and take a picture of this. We want to encourage everyone to take this spiritual gifts test. It's going to take about 12 minutes or so. So that's the link you're going to have to type in to find it. But it'll help you know your spiritual gifts. Now, after you take the test, then you'll be notified of the results, and we'll be notified of the results as well. And then we're going to contact you. So don't ghost us. Please answer the phone or respond to that email, whatever it is. And we just want to help you find your place as you serve God. This is about the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. Ephesians chapter 4 says it like this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets and evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip. That means like resource. God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 4, when you say yes to the Holy Spirit working in you, when you say yes to serving God, you know what happens? There's a spiritual consequence. The spiritual consequence is we all grow in our faith. We all mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a stronger church, and we look more like Jesus. We look more like his love and his grace. Now, here's the best spiritual gift. If you wonder what's the best one, because you might wonder, maybe I have the best one, or maybe you have the best one, whatever it is. Here's the best one. Verse 31. Check it out. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, But now let me show you a way of life that is the best. Say the best with me, the best of all. Here it is. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'd be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud, or rude. Hello. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Lord, help us. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Wow. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become what, church? Let's read that last sentence out loud. But I find it really interesting that Paul gives this speech to these Corinthians who are caught up in worshiping idols in Corinth. And in chapter 12, he talks about spiritual gifts. And in chapter 14, he talks about spiritual gifts, but it's like a vanilla cookie. Love is in the middle. And he says, you could have all the gifts and you can do all the things and you can have all the applause and you can have all the accolades and get all the awards or whatever, and you get all the attention and you know, all that stuff. But if you don't have love, it's useless. Love is the best gift you can share. God is love. That's what 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 tells us. God is love. God is love. So the best thing you can do is the way you love should be different because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. When everybody else is yakking and talking, you're not joining them. When everybody else is complaining and griping, you're not there. When everybody else sees the worst in him, you're seeing the best in him. When everybody else is seeing how terrible the situation is, you're seeing the potential in it all. When everybody else is discouraging, you're encouraging. When everybody else is talking about that person behind their back, you're not. You're lifting them up behind their back. You're reminding everybody that everybody needs the grace of God. You're reminding everyone of that. And when everybody else is being resentful and holding a grudge, you're not. You're showing forgiveness and you're saying, you know what? God has forgiven me for so much. How in the world can I hold a grudge against somebody else? Your love is different. Whenever the people are rude, you're not rude. Even if they're rude in your face. Just because they're mean and angry, you're not going to be mean and angry back to them because of who is living inside of you. There's something that Peter said. He said, at the very end of his sermon, he said, Peter's words pierced their hearts and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter's like a rock star, man. This guy, he's come from so much, from the guy who denied Christ. He thought he was done. He thought he was out of the game. And in John chapter 21, Jesus reminded him that he loved him and he's still his man. And now Peter preaches this lights out message and the Spirit of God stirs hearts. That's what happens when you hear it. Even here this morning and you sense a stirring inside of your heart, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you. That's the Spirit of God trying to awaken your spiritual life. That's the Spirit of God trying to get your attention. And this church, these people said, well, what should we do? And Peter said, well, you got to repent. That means, you know, this is the way I used to live, like in Corinth. This is what I valued. This is the way I thought. This is the way I did life. This is my philosophy of life. And I did evil, and I didn't care, and I didn't even call it evil. I didn't think, but whatever it is. But a repentance means a change of mind. And now I recognize who Jesus is. Now I want the Spirit of truth in my life. Now I want to live a life honoring to God. Now I recognize there's a heaven and there's a hell. Now I recognize the Word of God. Now I recognize who Jesus is, and I want to live a righteous life. I want to live a life pleasing under the eyes of God. That's repentance. So it's not just lip service. It's not just an intellectual decision where you say, yep. It's not one of those decisions where you make, well, God knows my intentions. No. It's action behind it as well. And some of you need to repent today. You came to church and you have a way of thinking and Jesus has been speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you need to repent. You need to turn to God and you need to say, God, I don't want to be that man anymore. I don't want to be that woman anymore. I need you. I need you. And you turn to God and you say, God, and that's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Hallelujah. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. It'll change your home. It'll change your life. It'll change your future. Thank you, Jesus. Then you can experience the forgiveness of your sins. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some of you need to make that step and say, okay, I want to live my life in such a way that the Holy Spirit has to be included in my explanation of who I am. I want to live my life in such a way that the Holy Spirit has to be part of the narrative. I want to live my life in such a way where people look at me and think, I know who you are. You're living a supernatural life because I know who you are. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do, guys. Before we baptize people, I want to give you an opportunity. This is between you and the Lord. This is a game-changing moment right here, guys. This is a part where you leave different than when you came in. I'm going to ask you to do a bold thing. We've been doing it the last few weeks. Are you ready? If you are ready to receive Jesus Christ into your life, you want to turn to Jesus, you want to become a Christian, and you recognize this life right here is not doing it for you. And you need the living water, and you're done with the sewer water, and you want the living water. If that's you and you want to become a Christian, stand up really quickly, and I'm going to be praying for you. Stand up really quickly. Anybody in the house who's ready to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, stand up quickly. We got people. Hallelujah. The ladies leading the way. The ladies are leading the way. Hallelujah. Way to go, ladies. We got a brother over here. Praise the Lord. Way to go, brother. Hallelujah. Stay standing up. Appreciate your courage. Sometimes people are concerned about what will other people think. Let me just tell you, all of us need the grace of God. We all need the grace of God. Don't you worry about anything else. This is a good place to be. Now here's the next ask. I'm going to say a prayer for you guys here. Just stay standing. But here's the next ask. If you want the Holy Spirit to fill you, and you want the Holy Spirit to use you, stand up really quickly. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? You want the Holy Spirit to use you in a fresh way? Let's pray. Let me pray for those who accepted Christ first. If that's you, just say, Jesus, I turn to you right now. I want to become a Christian. I recognize now that you love me. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I want to repent of that old way of life, that old way of thinking. And I want to live for you. So help me. Help me to live that life. I need you, Jesus. I embrace your grace. I embrace your love. I embrace your mercy and forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Change my heart. Change my mind. Change my thoughts. Change my home. And take my past and use it for your glory. Others of you, those of you who stood up for the Holy Spirit, say this prayer. Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me a new power. And use me. I pray for the spiritual gift that comes with your presence. I pray that you use me in a way that doesn't make sense, that's disproportionate to who I am. Thank you. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we put our hands together and thank God for his word? Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.